Hey everybody, it's Pete. You're about to listen to our first live episode of The Independent, which we did in downtown Chicago on Thursday evening. Great food, great drink, great conversation with Notre Dame fans. Also, there was the L train rumbling by from time to time, so you might hear that a little bit in the background. The audio might not be as crisp as usual. Just want to give everyone a heads up before they jump into the show. All right, welcome all to the first live episode of The Independent. Thanks for being with us here at ESQ Clothing in Chicago. Bissell, shout out to Gu for putting on this great event. Our first sponsor, Matt. We've been here before. We're both wearing ESQ today. Don't look quite as good as the most famous person who wears it.
Brian Kelly?
Yeah, in our media orbit. But thanks for all of you being here to hang out with us tonight on Ohio State Week. Naturally, because it's such a huge weekend in South Bend, I had to get on the toll road and come to Chicago to do this show. But we want to take questions from you guys. We'll have predictions at the end. This can be as interactive as you guys want it to be. Matt, I don't know if you had anything to lead us off here. Any hot takes about what we're going to see on Saturday night?
No hot takes moment. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for coming. I only count two people I'm related to here, so thank you to all of you who aren't obligated to be here. It means a lot to me. You weren't paid to be here. You paid to be here, so thank you. Thanks to Guy again for hosting us for a second year in a row for something like this. I'm just really excited about this game. I mean, heard Pete and I mention this on the show. Easily the most hyped I've been, and probably Notre Dame fan base in general, for a home game since the Bush Push game in 2005, and I think there's a chance for a really special atmosphere Saturday night that I personally have not covered because I only got on the beat in 2011, and that was my first game featured a 3-hour lightning delay and the quarterback change. So it was all kind of downhill from there.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I think this could really go either way.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to cover the Bush Push game. I've been here that long. I had hair back then. There's a great shot at NBC.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Me, Pete Carroll, and Lewis Johnson. It's just the three of us on the screen. I do think like this game has the potential to be in that conversation. And I was thinking about this a little bit today, like in 10 years from now, will I be writing an oral history about this game? Because I feel like there's a decent chance that will happen. Where my head is at on this one, I've actually had two dreams about this game in the last week, which is a little disturbing.
Dreams or nightmares?
Well, one of them involved that Al Golden did not coach the defense, but my wife did.
It didn't
go very well, which made for kind of an awkward morning. And the other one was the game actually was moved to Ohio State for some reason and turned into a scrimmage, which I was very upset when I woke up about. So I feel like I didn't get the whole experience. This game is weighing heavily on my mind too. I know Marcus Freeman talks about staying in the moment and blacking out the noise. I don't think I'm doing a very good job of that at all.
Yeah, I'm proud to be the second weirdest person on this show because I haven't dreamed about this game once so far, but I am excited about it. I've spent much of the week talking to coaches with baseball teams and definitely came away much more encouraged about Notre Dame's chances. Not that I wasn't before, but to hear people who've actually have skin in the game and have faced both these guys say it. I mean, the quarterback edge is distinctly tilted toward Notre Dame in this game in a way that I don't think we've really been able to say that in a big game like this for quite some time. And that fixes a lot of other problems. Now, the one thing that's been driven home to me, and we'll maybe see it play out Saturday night, is Sam Hartman's going to get hit no matter how good that offensive line is. That Ohio State defensive line and that defense in general is very good. They're much better than their stats indicate, and they are the number 2 defense in the country statistically right now. They just have not sacked the quarterback a whole lot yet. They don't have a Chase Young, Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa type pass rusher, but JT Tuilagamailoa, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that without reading it, Jack Sawyer, these are guys who are very good at beating their blockers and stopping the run. And it's going to be incumbent on Sam Hartman to find the open man and for these open men to win one-on-one matchups against a pair of very good cornerbacks.
Yeah, I think I'm most interested to sort of see how they protect Sam Hartman. He got banged up against Central Michigan last week. I'm sort of texting with people to see how healthy he actually is. The last text I got was very upbeat about it. So that's a positive.
The home field curse.
Yeah, the home field curse. But then also just like how they get after Kyle McCord, Ohio State's quarterback. He's making his fifth career start, I believe, second on the road. But the first one was in Bloomington, so I don't really think that counts as a road start. And, like, what Al Golden can do to confuse him, because it's like you I mean, we all watched Sam Hartman this year and thought, like, oh, man, that's what it's supposed to look like. Whereas I think Ohio State this year is like, oh, man, this isn't what it looked like at all before when you had C.J. Stroud, Dwayne Haskins. They just have had this long list of quarterbacks who have been NFL guys all the time. And now Notre Dame finally has one. So I'm interested to sort of see how Notre Dame can get after Kyle McCord, because, you know, C.J. Stroud, I thought, did an awesome job in last year's game, just sort of like taking it easy. And he was able to just sort of like lean on the offensive line because Ohio State knew that Notre Dame could only beat them one way. And that's if Ohio State essentially botched some assignment or special teams or there was a pick six. Whereas this year, I mean, the Notre Dame's path to victory, it's so different because you can see Notre Dame winning five or six different ways. Whereas last year it was just one, and it was sort of like an absurd outlier punt return touchdown, block punt, pick six kind of thing. So I'm interested to see how Notre Dame kind of leans into that and like where Jared Parker's head is at offensively. You throw to set up the run opposed to you just kind of pounding Audric Estime, and then Al Golden, like how much do you get after Kyle McCord? How much do you drop eight? Because they've only played really one true passing quarterback this year, Brennan Armstrong. I thought they made him look pretty bad. So if I was Al Golden, I would feel pretty good about my chances.
Yeah, the one thing that's interesting to me, talking to people on the Ohio State side who are familiar with the Ohio State side, is, you know, Ryan Day's been the head coach, been the play caller. Historically, like, that's not a path to winning a national championship. I think Jimbo Fisher is the last guy to do that at Florida State, and I think only Steve Spurrier did that before him, at least in our lifetimes. And he came under a lot of fire for the way they lost two games last year, at the end of last year. And he promoted Brian Hartline to OC, but he's not giving up the play calling to Brian Hartline. He's still calling the plays themselves. And there's a lot of pressure on Ryan Day in this game. You know, just having lost two games at the end of last year, losing 2 years in a row to Michigan, playing against a Notre Dame alum, who, let's face it, if Notre Dame wins this game, every Ohio State fan is going to say, let's hire Marcus Freeman. And they're going to do the same thing if they lose to Wisconsin and Luke Fickell next month as well. So I think there's a lot of pressure, rightly or wrongly, on Ryan Day coming into this game. And the one thing that was driven home to me that I hadn't really thought of and hadn't looked at closely enough was, you know, for as good of a play caller as he is, for as talented as the skill players on Ohio State's side are, there's a tendency with Ryan Day, you know, in a game like Georgia where you're a heavy underdog, you just came off the Michigan loss, you in some ways got nothing to lose, he just lets it rip. And they damn near won that game. And if they won that game, for all intents and purposes, they probably would have won the national championship against TCU. In a game like Michigan last year, or Michigan the year before, and maybe Notre Dame this weekend, if they're not scoring on their first two drives, he gets a little tense. He clamps up a little bit. I think you saw that a little bit last year in the Notre Dame game as well, where, you know, they had to lean into the run game probably a little bit more than they thought they would going in. They lost Jackson Smith and Jigba in the first quarter. Marvin Harrison Jr. ended up being the best receiver in the country, but he wasn't that game. And look, we can't overlook that guy either. I mean, we've all kind of said, what's wrong with him this year? He's still got the most receiving yards in the Big Ten. Like, he's still really freaking good. And so is Emeka Ibuka, who was the best offense player, I think, on the field against Notre Dame last year. That's a guy, especially the new quarterback, who I think has the potential to beat Notre Dame on a number of underneath routes. So they're still a very, very dangerous team, but I feel much better about Notre Dame's chances this year than I did last year and than I did 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, last thing before we jump into questions, how many of you guys are going to the game? All right, nice. That's a good turnout. There was a story I wrote on The Athletic this week just sort of about the red invasion and the potential of it, like the steps Notre Dame's trying to take to prevent it. Notre Dame is very optimistic that this won't – not only will this not look like Georgia, it won't even approach Cincinnati in terms of the red in the stadium. And it's anecdotally – I don't remember getting screenshots of tickets from Notre Dame fans about how they bought from the Ohio State allotment when it was Georgia in 2017. So I'm very interested to see like what kind of home field advantage Notre Dame has on Saturday night. Like, is it full on like a cathartic moment where like the fan base really kind of comes together in a different way? I think there's like a pretty strong potential for that. Whereas, like, the red will be interesting pregame, and then it will kick off, and that won't – like, we won't be talking about a red invasion on Saturday night. Notre Dame feels pretty good about it. I probably feel better than Notre Dame does about it just based on, like, some anecdotal stuff. But it does seem like a game that the Notre Dame fan base is kind of like – you know, it's like the Notre Dame fan is, like, a lot of different opinions, right? Like, but I do think this is one where, like, there's some real good unity here for the fan base. So I'm curious to see like what kind of energy that creates, what energy you guys create on Saturday night.
Protect this house, as Under Armour would say.
Yes, as Under Armour would say. Yeah, we'll be up in the press box of taking it all in. But, I mean, you guys, I think you guys are going to have a fun Saturday night. So, yeah, I don't know. What do you guys want to talk about? We've never done a live show. So, if what questions do you guys, or what are you most curious about? On, and maybe introduce yourself, and then we'll chat.
Sure. I'm Adam. I'm a 2016 graduate of Notre Dame, and I actually grew up in Columbus.
Okay.
So nice. I am getting a lot of trash talk.
Yeah.
High school friends on social media this week. But my question is about Spencer Schrader.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the game last week.
He's a Spencer Schrader expert here.
Yes.
And, I mean, a couple of those kicks that came off the leg, and I really well. Still was decently close, and I'm wondering how much does Marcus trust him in a big moment? How much, how far could he go? And Marcus
it seems like about Spencer Schrader and how much Marcus Freeman trusts him in press conferences quite a bit, and I think even just trotting him out last week for. Is that a 54-yard? He made a 54-yarder and then tried a 56?
Yeah.
56, 57? It's
59.
It's like you really wouldn't mess around with that even against Central Michigan. Like the game was fairly competitive at that point if you didn't have a lot of faith in him. And I thought, I mean, the kick was short, but it wasn't like way short. I mean, we've all watched games where like the coach trots the kicker out to try a 59-yarder knowing he can't make it from more than 49.
Right.
And it ends up like not making it to the goal line. I mean, Schrader's leg and just his approach, I've described him this way before. It's like he's the golfer that you golf with that hits a 280 off the tee but like doesn't look like he's swinging and you're like, God, jackass. So I think Marcus trusts him a lot, the leg, but also the mentality. Like, he's not somebody who I think would freak out. Like, if Notre Dame is at the 30-yard line and they need a field goal to win it in the fourth quarter, I think Marcus would feel pretty good about it. That doesn't mean it's going to go in. But it's like, even watching Schrader in camp, the way he just approaches kicks, his posture, just like his demeanor, it looks like a guy who's going to make it. I mean, we've all watched games too where like it's a kicker or a punter and you just look at their face before they take the field and you're like, no shot. Schrader's not that way. So Marty Biaggi told me on Tuesday of last week that he's seen Schrader make a 70-yarder in practice. I don't know if that there was a line involved, but that was just like not off a tee, just off the ground. They're not going to try that, but I mean, I think Marcus Freeman at 40 to 45 would feel good about it. Beyond that, like the odds go down, but the leg is there. I mean, the one he hit the upright in at NC State, like that looked like that was going on for 60, 65 yards. So I think there's a lot of confidence in him going into the game on Saturday.
Sam Hartman ever faced a team this highly ranked?
Clemson. Well, I mean, last year's Clemson, as we all saw at Notre Dame, was not exactly what they were cracked up to be, but he had 6 touchdown passes. They lost in double overtime. He was the best player on the field. They lost because of their defense. He's played Clemson 4 or 5 years now, and including national title winning teams, and got beat pretty badly in some of them, but he was, relatively speaking, playing with one arm tied behind his back compared to the talent on the field that he'll have with Notre Dame.
I'm interested, sort of like, I'm very confident that he will look comfortable and like in the moment, like rising to it on Saturday night. I haven't spent much time around him like one-on-one at all, just at press conferences, but he definitely exudes kind of like a dude quality. Like this is just not that big of a thing to him, even though it's like a huge, huge thing. I think that leads over to the team too. Like, I think players have talked about this where, just Hartman's like that dude factor. Like, I think it helps on defense. Like, I think everybody and in that program picks up on it, probably the head coach included. What would make a head coach more confident than having a guy with what is, I think he's at 120 career touchdown passes now. It doesn't get much better than that. I think Marcus Freeman kind of feels extra confident having Hartman too. I think it'll probably show on Saturday night.
Hey, Matt P. I'm Dan. I'm from the class of 2020. For what it's worth, I'm dubbing this game Christmas in September.
Okay. We'll see.
So I have a two-part question for you guys. The first being, how would you compare Notre Dame's roster to Michigan's? Because I tend to think they're quite similar. And then the second part being, what do you guys think Notre Dame can learn from Michigan's previous victories over Ohio State for a blueprint for success on Saturday?
It's an interesting question about Michigan and how that translates over or doesn't. In an ideal world, it translates over a lot, right? For Notre Dame, because I do think they're built similarly. I think Michigan's offensive line was quite a bit better than Notre Dame's, especially pass pro. I think in run blocking, not that far off. That's where Michigan killed Ohio State, is on the ground. Like Ohio State could not keep up on the ground at all. That's where I think if there's a parallel or something that carries over, that's where it's going to be.
Yeah, I think they're built similarly. Your current colleague Bruce Feldman had a story in the preseason looking at this Michigan roster, saying they could theoretically beat the NFL draft pick record with the amount of picks they have on the roster this year. I think they're a little bit better on the line than Notre Dame, but not significantly better. I think they're a little bit better at most of the skill positions, but not necessarily a quarterback this year, which, again, I think that kind of evens out in some ways because you got a guy as good as Sam Hartman. I think J.J. McCarthy will get there. I don't know if he's there yet, but he was thrown to a much better group of pass catchers last year, and you saw that against Ohio State. They got behind those DBs, and it was chunk play after chunk play against a team that was not giving up chunk plays for most of last year. So I think talent-wise, Michigan's a little bit better, but I think Notre Dame's better at quarterback, and maybe that evens out.
Because, that 2 years ago, they beat him with Cade McNamara, right?
Right.
If I remember that correctly. And that was the game at Michigan where you had some kind of home field advantage. So it's I'm probably putting it too much on Sam Hartman for my prediction for Saturday night. But that makes all the difference. Like, if you watch Notre Dame this year, it just looks like a completely different program because of the quarterback.
It does. I come back to just to stick with the Michigan theme. In the second half of last year's game against Ohio State, they really pulled away at the end. It was a really good game for about 2.5 quarters. And you heard all the anecdotal evidence of late in the game, the Michigan sideline just saying, we know who they are. We know who they are. Like, that's a finesse team. We're a brute team, and we're going to knock these guys on their ass, and they're not going to get up. And that's exactly what happened. I don't know if, Notre Dame can take that specific blueprint and mentality to Ohio State. I do think, Jim Knowles is a very good coordinator. He did pretty good last year. Obviously, he didn't pass because he was hired to beat Michigan, and he didn't beat Michigan. But I do think having another year in that system with a lot of returning pieces is going to make Ohio State that much better on defense this year compared to last year.
One of the best parts of starting the Independent podcast was a chance to pick the brands we wanted to work with, and Rollback was at the top of my list. As the owner of multiple polos, hoodies, Q-zips, and shorts, I can tell you the quality, fit, and feel is unmatched. You've probably seen Rollback on Audric Estime, Kyle Hamilton, and Michael Mayer. Or maybe you saw the dozen Notre Dame fans wearing the Shamrock polo at the Central Michigan game last weekend. I can tell you I saw Rollback gear in Dublin earlier this year. While the gear hasn't made me quite that athletic as those Notre Dame football players, Rollback is my go-to on the golf course, heading to the lake, watching my kids' sports, or just walking the dog. So make sure you're comfortable throughout the season with Rollback. Use code IRISH for 20% off your first purchase. That's code IRISH for 20% off all hoodies, polos, Q-zips, and more.
Attention Notre Dame fans and homefieldapparel.com enthusiasts. If you haven't seen the news, Home Field Apparel, one of our great sponsors, has a new part of their Notre Dame collection. That's the Sam Hartman Green Victory March t-shirt, just dropped this week. Listeners of the Independent can get 10% off their first purchase at homefieldapparel.com by using the code INDEPENDENT23. So go to homefieldapparel.com, use the promo code INDEPENDENT23 on all Notre Dame gear, but especially the new Sam Hartman Victory March t-shirt in green. Fabulous addition to the Home Field Apparel line in the Notre Dame collection. So check it out, homefieldapparel.com, and don't forget to use the code INDEPENDENT23 for 10% off your first order.
Sean, class of 2010. Couple of things. One, how much getting Bertrand back on defense is going to help us?
you know, just communicate better. And we obviously saw in the first half against Central Michigan a lot of just kind of disarray. But then second, what have the coaches said on specifically on the defensive side to clean up the penalties that have extended drives that have really led to some of the scores that we've seen?
Yeah, two-part. The first one, how much does Bertrand being back help? And then also cleaning up the penalties. I'll take the Bertrand one. I thought Jack Kaiser played pretty well as middle linebacker. But to me, the problem is, like, when you move Jack Kaiser from Rover, you're creating a problem there because Jalen Snead, the sophomore, is just not there yet. If you know, Pro Football Focus statistics, you can take them or leave them. I think they're decent guidelines. Sometimes they're for entertainment value. But Jalen Snead's missed tackle percentage is at 40%. So if you think about you would not put a linebacker on the field that missed one out of every two tackles or one out of every three tackles. Jack Kaiser is at 3%. That's kind of what you're looking for. And I think that for Al Golden to have Bertrand, Leafau, and Kaiser all out there at the same time, that's where you can do some funky blitz, drop, twist, stunt stuff. And those linebackers can pick it up and execute it. It's not too much. Bertrand is incredibly high football IQ. Kaiser is there too. Leafau, I think, has made a huge jump this season. So I think having Bertrand back and, you know, Mitchell Evans back on offense, like, those were, because it was Central Michigan, we're also like, ah, whatever. They'll just roll through there. And ultimately they did. But I think they're huge on Saturday night, both those. But Bertrand in particular, because it's, if you want to confuse Kyle McCord, you're going to have to do some creative, interesting stuff. But you need to have a middle linebacker who can handle it and an outside linebacker who can handle it. So I think that's a big one for Saturday.
Yeah, Leafau is a guy who I think opposing coaches have seen take the greatest leap from last year to this year. And when you throw in a healthy J.D. Bertrand and just that veteran middle of your defense against a first-time or first-year starting quarterback, I think that's very, very crucial. And I think that might be where the game ultimately gets decided on Saturday night. As far as the penalties, I mean, they got to be better. I don't have stats in front of me to confirm this, but it does seem like that's a problem everywhere. Like, everyone who stayed up and watched that Colorado State game the other night, very, very sloppy. Colorado State threw that away with a lot of dumb penalties. Yep. Alabama has been one of the worst penalized teams in the country the last 5 years running, and this year they might be even worse than they've been in the past, and they can't afford to be that bad this year with that roster. So it's got to be better. It's got to be cleaner. The fact they're at home, I'm a little less worried. I don't think you'll see a situation where, like 2019 Georgia, where I'm not saying they would have won that game, but they ruined their best chances, I think, with some untimely, you know, false starts and timeouts they had to call because of the crowd noise. I'm less worried about that, especially on offense with, you know, a six-year quarterback. But it seems like it's been a bit of an epidemic all over the country right now.
And I'm okay with, and Marcus is talking about this, like, half the penalties were probably fine. Like, you're okay with a hold here or there, or, you know, a PI is tough. The Josh Burnham personal foul, it's just like, he didn't know the quarterback was there, ran over him. I think you just sort of roll with that. But the Riley Mills penalty, you're just like, come on, man. Like, you're a senior, you know better than that. So that, if they can just cut out those penalties, I think that they'll be fine. But, like, look, if Ben Morrison has to tackle Marvin Harrison Jr. because he's getting beat deep, like, that's 15 yards that you're going to take every time. So it's kind of a mixed bag with that. But I think, you know, I'm thinking the NC State game, they had a rash of penalties there. And I don't think any of them were quite as egregious as, like, the Riley Mills one where you're just like, dude, don't. But, you know, it's got to be better. But you would think there would be a natural sort of come back to the mean on that. And certainly I think the coaching staff has emphasized that usually you get what you emphasize.
Hey guys, Drew, class of 2000 from Notre Dame. Two quick questions. First one is, what's the minimum stat line that you would like to see from Sam Hartman that would, you know, say this is what Notre Dame needs to win? What's the minimum stat line from yards and touchdowns? Second question, maybe all of us that were either at the Clemson game last year or watched Clemson game on TV last year, I think kind of going into that game, we weren't terribly impressed with Notre Dame's offensive or defensive lines. In that game, they completely showed out. They were the best units on the field, both offensive and defensive. I would say pretty similar this year. We haven't seen domination on either side of Notre Dame's lines. What are the odds that we see similar type, you know, game plan, or like, literally the team looks like they did against Clemson?
that's an interesting way to put it. A question is sort of about, like, you know, if Notre Dame's lines can recreate the moment of Clemson last year. And I know talking to the old offensive coordinator, I think he was even shocked after the game. Is like, I didn't think that that was going to look like that at all with the run game. I think they expected it to look not like Ohio State at the beginning of the year, but a lot closer to that. So that can happen. I would bet Marcus Freeman would come up with a really sweet NIL deal for Jared Patterson if he could get him back for one more game. And, like, he missed the Ohio State game last year, so maybe there's an eligibility loophole. I'm not sure if I don't think the offensive line is going to play that way. I don't see the markings of that. But the defensive line, I could see that happen. And the biggest, I think, disappointing matchup in last year's game to me, where I just like read it wrong, was Ohio State's offensive line against Notre Dame's defensive line, because I thought Notre Dame was going to win that matchup, and they got beaten decidedly. Both like early in the game when they couldn't get pressure on Stroud, and late in the game where they just got caved in by Ohio State's run game. So if I had to choose one of those two that would be more likely, I'd say the defensive line. If the offensive line really balled out on Saturday, that would surprise me. But the defensive line, I think you've sort of seen bits and pieces of like what they're building towards with Javonte Jean-Baptiste, big game for him being an Ohio State grad transfer. I think Jordan Mitello is playing better. Cross and Mills, you get Rubio back in some capacity, which I think is kind of one of those where, like, is he going to make the difference in the game? Probably not, but you're taking Donovan Heinisch, who's, you know, not quite ready. You're taking those 12, 15 snaps away and giving them to a guy who's 6'5", 300 pounds and can move. Like, that's a positive. What's
the minimum Sam Hartman's stat line that gets Notre Dame with
it? More than 87 yards, which is what Troop Hine had against Clemson last year.
I'm just saying that was a prop bet. I looked at it before the game last year. I'm not going to tell you what happened.
It was higher than 87, I assume.
The yes.
Over-under. Okay.
Yeah.
By a lot. As simple as it sounds, I think no turnovers and no sacks. I don't think you're going to see a Notre Dame offensive line that dominates like it did last year against Clemson and runs for 200-plus yards. But if they can hold off those Ohio State blitzers, if they can keep those ends in check and just give Sam Hartman just enough time to make the right reads, I think that'll be enough. I think defensively is where – you know, that's where if you're going to replicate last year's Clemson, I think it'd be more likely on the defensive side of the ball, where Ohio State has two brand new tackles, center, and a quarterback who we still don't know a whole lot about. Like, Ohio State outside of Justin Fields hasn't historically gone to the transfer portal for quarterbacks, and Ryan Day's been so good with quarterbacks that he probably thought he wouldn't need to. But I am a little surprised just from the little I've seen of Kyle McCord so far that they didn't. Maybe they did try. In fact, I think no, they did try. But yeah, I'm surprised they weren't a little bit more aggressive in getting an outside arm for that offense. But I just think Notre Dame's veteran defense with cornerbacks that you trust a lot more than you ever had before. If you can get some pressure and beat that line and cause some confusion for Kyle McCord, I think that's your best shot at really disrupting the game and taking control of the game.
Any other questions? If not, we can jump straight into predictions. You want to go first?
Sure. Anyone else? Anyone have predictions? Yeah. Also, is anyone here a Bears fan? If so, I'll give you a hug afterward. It's been a rough week.
Yeah.
The line, I believe, is still 3.
I believe it is.
And it's 55.5.
Yeah.
I've got Notre Dame 31, Ohio State 24. Under. Under. If you're betting on this game, I bet the under. But I do think Notre Dame. I'm picking Notre Dame one.
Yeah, I also like Notre Dame. I like the under even more than I like Notre Dame, though.
So do
I.
It was 21-10 last year in the first game, and that was a CJ Stroud.
Because I think I got Notre Dame 28-24. Because I think Ohio State's defense, we didn't really talk about that a lot.
Got signaling.
Oh, yeah.
Lee Corso Jr. here.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to fit. I don't think it's going to fit on my head. But, yeah, I think that, like, Sam Hartman makes the difference to me over Kyle McCord. I think both defenses are really, really good, though. And we haven't spent much time on Ohio State's defense. Like, their defensive line is big time. And that worries me a little bit with Sam Hartman. It worries me more with Rocco Spindler and sort of the interior line there. But I think it's a big game for Jared Parker, because rarely do you see offense coordinators want to sort of concede, hey, we can't block these guys for more than 3 seconds. But I think it is going to behoove Parker to be like, all right, quick game, you know, get the ball out, maybe draw counter run game. You know, I don't think that Hartman's going to have the time to stand back there and just like pop it over the top like he did against Central Michigan. If they do, I like that's going to be a good setup off play action. But I think that it's a big game for Parker. I think he will rise to the occasion against Knowles because he has Hartman to run the operation. So I had Notre Dame 28, Ohio State 24.
We've been very close lately. Like, I'm 31-24. Yeah.
May precipitate a field storming after. You guys may have a better view of post-game, or maybe we can just do a post-game podcast on the field with you afterwards.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, because we are – for our Saturday night show, I don't know how many of you guys listen to it. Usually it comes out Sunday morning. What we're going to do is we're going to have like sort of we do StreamYard, and so we'll put out a link when we go live about an hour after the game where you can submit questions that way. It'll be more like a live interactive post-game show. We're going to try that out this week because why not try that out against Ohio State?
We'll have no opinions whatsoever.
Yeah. No. But that should be a good time. Might not be as interpersonal as here we are at ESQ in Go Shop, but it'll be a fun show on Saturday night. And yeah, we appreciate all of you guys coming out and hanging out with us here on a random Thursday night before the biggest home game of the year.
Thank you.